Once upon a time, he kept us wired into Utah sports. Now he's covering the L.A. Laker beat for the Southern California News Group. Online, try OCRegister.com. On Twitter, the handle is at Kyle Goon. Kyle, it's been a little while. How's life treating you?
I'm good, man. I'm over at the beach. Going to head over to the newly minted Crypto.com arena tonight. Yeah, I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm awesome. Yeah, beach life, going to cover the Lakers. Somehow you have to forge on, Kyle, through these difficult times.
Yeah, you know, just get through this tough winter.
So I know you're an East Coast guy, a Maryland Terp. You lived in Salt Lake City. Now since 2018, you've been in SoCal. My sister lived in West Hollywood for a while. She said to me, living in L.A. hits everyone differently. So in your case, be it the traffic, the beach, cost of living, how has living in SoCal most impacted Kyle Goon?
Yeah, I think all those three things that you just mentioned, definitely going to be like an hour-long hike to the arena, which I don't know if there are hour-long commutes in the Portland area, but, you know, we're trying to keep it good and sunny. The weather's great. Certainly why LeBron came over here, I think, enjoy the quality of life and get away from Cleveland winters.
I want to get to Russell Westbrook. Truth be told, I thought it was a great move with LeBron's age and, you know, the health issues with Anthony Davis. We've seen the guy carry teams. So I guess initially, what were your thoughts on the trade? And do you think come Thursday night that he's definitely still going to be a Laker? I know he's got a player option for next season, so his contract really isn't horrible.
Yeah, well, I think if you called up NBA teams as a GM and tried to move off his contract, you'd find out how tough it is to move. You know, thinking back to when the Lakers did this deal, I was kind of two minds because my basketball brain was like, well, this doesn't make sense. And Russ is not a three-point shooter. I mean, the prototype is you get LeBron, you get AD, you get a bunch of three-point shooters who can play a little defense. And Russ doesn't really check either of those boxes. But I think what really informed the front office and informed a little bit of my thinking at the time was, you know, they had passed up this opportunity to trade for Kyle Lowry, an all-star level point guard who gave them, you know, who would have given them precisely what they needed last postseason, in my belief. And I think the thinking over the summer was, you know what, we missed on Kyle Lowry. If we have a chance to go get a superstar, a guy that we think is a superstar, we're going to go get him. And obviously, you know, Rob Pelinka had the blessing of LeBron, had the blessing of AD. They were interested in bringing in that third star, and he just hasn't been that. It's just too often he kind of vacillates. He's not paying attention on defense. He only has like a limited skill set offensively, sort of the drive and kick game. And then unfortunately he gets away from his driving and the ball can stick to him a little bit when he's not moving it into the paint. In certain times, even when he gets to the paint, he's not finishing. So it's just Russell hasn't been able to show his best strengths. He hasn't had that complimentary game that goes with LeBron and AD. And now it's kind of getting to the point between his iffy shooting and his turnover issues that the coaching staff is trying to minimize his role to kind of minimize the damage he can do and the possessions he gives up. So it's a really kind of dysfunctional situation at present. But I just don't think that the Lakers can move off his contract because, as you mentioned, he's making almost $44 million this year. And if he chooses to opt in, he can make $47 million next year. So if you're Russell Westbrook and you can make almost $50 million next year, I would opt in. I would do it if I were him.
I think I'd join you. We continue with Kyle Goon of the OC Register. You know, another kind of subtle move, lineup tinkering maybe. Malik Monk, the fourth-year guy from Kentucky, just a one-year deal this offseason, had a big game beating my Knicks, was originally a lottery pick. So is he officially the starting two guard now, or are they still trying to work that out?
Yeah, I mean, he is the starting two guard, and that kind of came to a head in the last game where the Lakers moved Another guard, Avery Bradley, out of the starting lineup, start Stanley Johnson instead. And what Frank Vogel said was, you know, depending on matchup, we're going to have either Avery or Stanley. So that kind of locks Malik in as that fourth guy along with the big three. And he's been terrific. I mean, I think the way I describe his strength is just he plays fearlessly. He just is not intimidated by big shots. He's been hitting threes in an awesome clip. He can be a secondary playmaker a little bit and has developed a lot of chemistry with AD in the pick and roll. And, you know, even taking some of those backup point guard minutes out of Russell Westbrook's hands this season, to be honest. So I really think Malik has beyond lived up to his contract. And he was a lottery pick once upon a time, one of the best players in college basketball. And some guys just take longer to blend into the NBA. And I think Malik Monk is one of those guys.
As far as LeBron, we know he's missed 17 games, 37 last year. I mean, for 37, incredible productivity. You wrote about recently watching him look a little shaky during a pre-tip-off workout. So I know it's some speculation, but I feel like it's kind of tough to gauge, I guess. I mean, what's a reasonable read on his availability moving forward? I mean, are they going to load manage him or what?
You know, it's tricky because with LeBron, he is, you know, the last person who wants to admit vulnerability. But, I mean, if you just look over the last, you know, four seasons, he's been in and out with various things that have just taken longer to heal than he has in the past. And you know, at 37, you just kind of got to deal with that. So he's kept up his high level of play. It's just the maintenance that's harder. So I think the Lakers, you know, they've got a back-to-back coming up. And tonight they're playing the Bucks. LeBron is probable. He's still wearing a full-length leg sleeve on his knee. I would kind of expect that he might be in doubt, you know, tomorrow in Portland against the Blazers, given the Blazers, you know, gigantic turnover. I mean, who knows who's going to be able to play tomorrow
right. For
them. And I just would be surprised if the Lakers decided, you know what, we're going to throw LeBron in 100% for all the games, regardless of rest. I would be surprised that if he played both nights of the first back-to-back. But, you know, they're very guarded, and they play this night by night. So we probably won't even know until either after the game tonight or tomorrow.
A few final thoughts for Kyle Goon, SoCal News Group, OC Register. You mentioned Bucks tonight, Blazers tomorrow. We learned C.J. McCollum is going to New Orleans. Lillard is hurt. I know the L.A. beat is yours, not Portland, but as wired as you are into the league, just thoughts on how different it's going to be without the all-star backcourt and just seeing, in essence, kind of like a new-look Blazer team that, you know, you haven't seen for a decade.
Well, look, I was kind of hoping you'd ask me about that because something I've never really talked about is getting to spend a little time with Dame and CJ in the bubble. And, you know, they were some of the most outgoing guys in terms of NBA stars that I've met. They're obviously tight with Chris Haynes from Yahoo Sports. And a couple nights, we got to hang out, drink some wine together, and those guys just got along off the court on a level I don't think you usually see teammates do. And they're both they both have these intellectual pursuits and off-court interests. And obviously CJ with the Players Association has been so active. And I just kind of remember thinking of them as this great, you know, not just duo on the court, but just good friends and guys who shared a lot of interest. And another thought I had thinking back to the bubble was as Dame was kind of fighting his way for the play-in and doing that great run of bubble games to play the Lakers in the first round, it just kind of made me think of when he said back then, you know, I want other things beside a championship. I want to get my teammates contracts. I want my coach to stay employed. And just today's move kind of made me think of how far those aspirations have kind of gotten away from the Blazers. And some of those things are outside their control, but, you know, it was such a hopeful time 2 years ago when the Blazers were kind of fighting their way back in the playoffs and trying to defend, you know, when they had gone to the Western Conference Finals the year before. And there was a lot of hope that, you know, maybe this group can still kind of figure it out and that pairing especially could figure it out. So it makes me sad as just somebody who not only appreciates sort of the 1-2 punch that they've had for years and the scouting report that you know, teams have had to kind of dial in on with those two scoring threats, but also just knowing what kind of guys they are and how long they get along off the court.
That's an awesome story. I'm happy I brought it up, too. You know, 3 years ago, going back, you know, a lot of folks thought, well, that's the end of Carmelo Anthony. Then he went through a revival here, became a fan favorite, and as far as being a Laker, 1 year, $2.6 million deal. At times, you still see he's like a walking bucket. But maybe with so much bad attention on Westbrook, Kyle, is it fair to say Melo has kind of actually lived up and been pretty good for L.A.?
Oh, man, he's been great. I think it's pretty tough if you look at the minimum contracts around the league to think of a guy who brings more than Carmelo Anthony does. And, you know, Malik Monk is another guy who's on contract, but it's a minimum contract. But I think it's a little different when you look at the veteran experience, a guy who's been in playoff series, a guy who's won playoff series, a guy who is steadying to people like Russell Westbrook, and who kind of blends the locker room together. So I'm sure you guys in Portland got to know him a bunch. He is just this upbeat soul. And you know, the other night, he had done the spin around lob on a catch from Russell Westbrook and dunked it. And I was sort of being playful. And I said, "Hey, Melo, like, how long have you been lobbying Frank to get that in the playbook?" And I swear, deadpan as he could be, I was like, "Oh, that's not in the playbook. That's just a thing between me and Russ. It's just a communication thing." It's like, nice. "Melo, I know, Melo. Come on, man." and he made a comment like, "Oh, you guys think I can't jump anymore? Is that what you think?" So he's still got some juice left in the legs. Obviously, he's out tonight, but he might be able to play tomorrow in Portland, coming off a hamstring strain. I'm sure Blazers fans hope to see him.
Oh, no, they fell in love with that guy. The last thing I want to get to is Frank Vogel. I mean, we know he won the title. He's only signed through, I think, next year. They extended the GM Rob Pelinka early in 2020. So is Vogel coaching for his job? I mean, how would you describe his status or maybe stability?
There's only two people in this organization who are not trying to make sure they have jobs next year, and that's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. There are only two people who have total blanket security. That's LeBron James and Anthony Davis. And as far as I'm concerned, everyone else has their butt on the line, so to speak. And Frank is one of those. I mean, and it's been that situation since the Lakers gave him an extension, but it's only a 1 year extension. So he's only under contract for 2 years, so if they want to keep him, they have to extend him again this summer. So I mean, that's a fire under anyone. And then just the way that things have gone for the Lakers this year, obviously they're two games under 500 right now, and you can quibble with the injuries and everything, but more was expected. And whether that falls on the front office for doing the deal for Russ, or whether that falls on Frank for, you know, frankly, the rotations, the lineups have varied. I believe the Lakers still have the most number of starting lineups, of different starting lineups this year, and that's a little bit about their injuries and COVID and all those things. But it also has to do with Frank just toggling guys in and out, moving guys, changing roles, maybe not starting off with the right group. I mean, they started off with DeAndre Jordan and Kent Bazemore in the starting lineup this year, and those guys can barely see playing time now. So there's accountability to go around. And yeah, I would say, you know, the Lakers made it tough on Frank, and now Frank is just in a position where I find it hard to see, barring, you know, very strong playoff success, that Frank is going to be in this role next year. And it's just, sometimes that's just how the circumstances are.
No question about it, and it's always entertaining. Folks, he's Kyle Goon, sports journalist extraordinaire, covering the Lakers for the OC Register, part of the Southern California News Group. Hey, Kyle, it's always great catching up. Much appreciate your time, your insights. You be well, you avoid the traffic, and, of course, look forward to talking again not too far down the road.
Yeah, ain't no avoiding the traffic out here, Steve. But yeah, us East Coast natives have to stick together out here.
Hey, thanks again, Kyle. You're the best, man. Talk soon.
All right. See you, man.
Take it easy.